Hey, you're listening to The Treehouse Storyteller. Meet me in the treehouse for God-shaped storytelling. Treehouse Storyteller is where we can come together as messy parents seeking Jesus together and raising kids to love him too. If you aren't scared of addressing cultural issues head on and finding a deeper understanding of the biblical worldview to share with your children, then you've come to the right place. I'm not afraid to be transparent and tell all of the juicy details. Our children are being chased by the world, and it is our job to be well-equipped and know not only how to lead our flock, but successfully send our arrows out into the world one day to build the kingdom. So snuggle up by the fire or soak up the sunshine with those earbuds in and meet me in the treehouse for some biblical storytelling. You are listening to part two of How to Navigate a Comparison Girl with guests Shannon Popkin and Lee Nienhuis.
Okay, so moving forward past, well, still in line with depression and anxiety, we find this chapter that I was thrilled to see that you guys were so bold in writing about gender identity. And you have a quiz in chapter four called Girly Girls, Tomboys, and Gender Identity, where you ask questions and provide biblical answers unapologetically. And I just applaud the both of you for just in the culture that we are in, just sticking your necks out on the line for Christ and speaking his truth and not being afraid to share that with these girls. So you call out the lies, claim the biblical truth. Why is this something you so bravely and boldly wanted to include in your book?
Well, Shannon chose five topics to focus on in the original Comparison Girl. And when we sat down, I said, hey, I think there's this other issue that we need to talk about. And it's this idea of comparing our femininity. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was growing up, if you were a girl, you were just a girl, and you were either a tomboy or you were a girly girl. Mm-hmm. And those were the two categories. And now, as we can see when we log on to Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, there's hundreds of different ways that people can identify their gender now. And in reality, our world is feeding this to our kids and they're buying it. And eating that right up. But at the very core of what God created, our fundamental truth about what it means to be human is this gender question that needs to be answered. And God did that. He said, in the beginning, he created male and female. Male and female, he created them. So when we got into this discussion about the next book, I said, you know, the rules that God set forward have not changed. Our culture may have changed, but yeah, what God created did not change. There's just this gamut of ways that you can express your feminine identity. And so Shannon and I have a good friend. You really should talk about Kelly and Jimmy real quick, mm-hmm, Shannon, because they brought it home to us. And then we absolutely had to include it in the book. But Shannon, go ahead.
Yeah, I interviewed Kelly on my podcast talking about this very thing. I did a series on Genesis and male and female. We did an interview. And so I think where this comes to a head with comparison is girls looking beside each other and saying, well, I'm not like her. You know, I'm not a girly girl. So am I a girl? Right. And our culture says, yeah, you should question that. And I mean, that's scary, mm-hmm, for a girl to look in the mirror and say, I wonder if I'm a girl. And we just want them to have the confidence and the security and the peace in knowing there already is a creator in the story and it's not you, it's God. He created you. Mm-hmm. And so what Kelly and I talked about is that in the category of female, there is this wide variety of what it means to be a female. Apparently our God loves variety, because look at the birds, look at the flowers, look at the colors, look at every different category of life. There is a huge variety, and that is the same with male and with female. So there's this, and actually God is less narrow than culture. Culture is narrower in its idea of what it means to be a female, because it says, culture says, oh, you know, you don't like to wear dresses, or you don't wear pink, or you don't like art. You know, you prefer these other, you know, your more masculine tendencies. Well, you must be a boy. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going back to like, no, actually, what does God say about this? And we really loved too the quote that we used from Hilary Garrard in Mama Bear Apologetics. And she's talking about,
I love her book.
Yeah. I loved how she talked about how the root gen, like that's a root word for generations, mm-hmm. gender, and that the root means that which produces. And so we contribute to new life in two ways, right? Mm-hmm. And your genitals, actually, that's genitals, gender, your genitals determine your gender. You know, mm-hmm. you either contribute with an egg or a sperm. And we said to the girls in the book, we don't want to go all birds and bees on you, but this is important. Like these yeah. words, you know, gender, that word is being changed, yeah. but its root is actually that which generates new life. And so we can be confident, a girl can be confident that she is a girl because there is a creator in the story and he's the one who determined her sex.
Oh, I love that.
And that can play out a thousand different ways. That's what we need to say to our kids is, okay, so you don't like to play dolls. That's okay. What do you like to play? And then believe that God has put some of these things in there to be cultivated as a mom. Let's celebrate. You know, I have a girl that's in my life right now that all she wants to be when she grows up is a welder. Mm-hmm. Okay. It never crossed my mind she would want to be a welder. But that's what she wants to be. And so, you know, that is going to impact the way that I prepare her, because she is likely going to grow up, you know, in a world surrounded by men, mm-hmm. but because she likes welding and not dolls, because she's fascinated by cars and not makeup, does not mean that she's not a girl. It just means that her preferences are different. And so one of my very best friends never does her hair, can't put a hairbrush in her hair, wears it on top of her head and a ponytail and a hairband. And she is as much a woman as I am. And so as believers in Jesus, we need to be unyielding about this, but we also need to be very accepting about the way that people want to express their likes and dislikes. That means mm-hmm. if she doesn't like to wear a dress, let's not make that a critical issue that we're putting on the line of salvation. That's not the case.
In that conversation with Jimmy with Kelly Needham, her husband Jimmy, actually as a young boy, really loved music and he wanted to be a makeup artist. So he was all into dressing up and makeup and costumes and that sort of thing. And she said that, you know, his friends would be playing basketball and he was like inside listening to his friend's mom's records of Whitney Houston, because he's like, she was awesome, you know, and his parents just did a great job of affirming this is how Jimmy was. He loved music. He was very creative. He was very not like a typical boy, but he was still a boy, and they allowed him to explore and be who God created him to be. And now he's a worship pastor and he is definitely, you know, has always been a boy, and that was never in question for him. So I think that we can give kids an assurance. That's what they're looking for. When they look sideways and compare and think, I'm not like her, am I a girl? We can say, absolutely. You are a girl that God created in this unique variety of girls.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Oh, I remember when my daughter was in kindergarten in public schools, and she was wearing all of these fancy twirly dresses every single day. And she just started to want to wear sweatpants and t-shirts. And she was being teased because she was so overly girly and kind of the fashionista of the group. She started to be teased. And because she was so overly complimented about it, she started to have an insecurity about it and then didn't want the attention for it. And so started to like go completely the other way. When reality, now years later, now she's 11, she loves dressing up and she loves all of those things, but she gave into that, you know, like, oh, well, I'm being picked on, which really they're, you know, kids. And I mean, I think adults still do it sometimes, but kids, especially when people are giving you good attention, it still feels weird sometimes if you're not wanting that attention. And so it's just interesting seeing the different waves that it has gone through with her, and just always encouraging her and through that, and to look past what, like when you say look left and look right, look sideways and compare, to just really, well, what are you wanting to do? What do you want? Are you wanting to wear the dress? Then wear the dress. Who cares what they say? But it's hard. It's really hard. So, oh, go ahead, Shannon.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, more than once I have watched really beautiful girls want to retreat because of all of the attention. They're just not ready for that attention. And, mm-hmm. and beauty is so elevated in our culture. There's a lot of pressure that comes with that, of always being in the eyes of your peers. And so we have got to, as moms and youth leaders and those who love our teens, we've got to give them a foundation. And that foundation is not what you look like. It's not in your beauty. It's in who God created you to be. And, you know, that foundation, Jesus said, he talked about the wise and the foolish builder, you know, the one who had no foundation when the storms came, the foundation just was washed away. The whole building was washed away. But we can give our girls a foundation.
Yeah.
Of who I am beneath the surface, not my physical appearance, but who I am at my core. And that's really what matters. And that's what holds me steady, regardless of whether I'm getting positive attention, negative attention. Who I am is not found in the eyes of other people. Who I am is found in the eyes of God.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That really is all of it in a nutshell right there. It's who God says you are. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got some crazy, I want to touch on these because they're just kind of almost funny, but not funny. I see it a lot, especially my daughter's age and her peers and her friends, and she dances, and the whole Taylor Swift thing. Do we want to go there? Do we want to touch it? It's such, and it doesn't have to be about Swifties or about Taylor Swift, but just that concept of idolizing, you know, someone that is so in the limelight and so, you know, just the fame and the fortune and that lifestyle. What do we do with that? What do we do that with that as moms? Because it drives me bonkers. I'm like, just don't touch it. Like, I want to just look the other way, run the other way. Like, what do you ladies have to say about it?
Okay. So first of all, we always have to look for something admirable about the people before we tear them down as parents. Okay. So mm-hmm. I'm saying this, and I can sing lots of Taylor Swift songs, but there's lots that is admirable about Taylor Swift. Actually, there's some things that we probably want to talk about as moms with mm-hmm. our daughters, you know, cover about things that are inappropriate. But first of all, is there anything that's praiseworthy about her? And yes, she is a very, very generous woman and very kind. And mm-hmm. so let's talk about that. I think one of the things that we really need to focus on as moms is giving our girls the right kind of heroes mm-hmm. and setting up the right people for the right reasons. And so that happens when we identify first who is someone that should be admired. And rather than tearing down people that they do admire, offering up some other people that might need to be considered. And so one of my favorite things to do with the kids growing up has been to offer them heroes they may not know about. And so that's what we're talking about, all kinds of things from secular places like the movie Hidden Figures about women who are very, mm-hmm. very smart. We talk through the issues of God made them smart and they used their skills and it served America. And look at how she was marginalized, but she overcame that. And mm-hmm. that goes down to missionary stories. But let's talk about people who are worthy and then talk about why. I mean, influence is made out of lots of different components. But one of the things that will always make a woman influential is her generosity. So think with me about Oprah, and you get a car and you get a car and you get a car. The reason, one of the reasons why Oprah is so influential and such a tearjerker is because she sees other people and she offers other people hope that their circumstances could change or that there's something worthy about them. So instead of tearing down somebody, what if we look at what they're actually really good at and identify that core issue, that thing that appeals to our girls, and draw that out, fan that into a flame, but teach them what to look for in a hero. And it is easy for us. My husband, Mike, always tells a story about he and his brother were watching Dukes of Hazzard. They were six and yes. 8 years old in the morning. And his mom, my mother-in-law, walked down the stairs and was like, "Do you think it is appropriate for you to be watching Dukes of Hazzard?" And they were like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Have you seen Daisy's shorts?" And they're like, "No, we're watching for the cars."
Right.
You know, and I think this is such a good story because as moms, we're focus on some other things sometimes than what mm-hmm. our girls are seeing or what's captivating their attention. So it's always best to lead with a question like, "Hey, what do you like about this?" rather than just immediately shutting the conversation mm-hmm. down.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice. That's really, I'm definitely the shutter downer.
Me too, Hannah.
I am popping the bubble going, no. And yeah. It's just, I think it's really easy to do that. And I think that's good advice to ask the questions first because that gains some trust. But I also think, I don't know, like there's so many circumstances where I'm like, Shannon, I want to hear what you have to say too, but like where to draw that line of just, you know, black and white is black and white. And then, okay, let's peel this back a little and, you know, see what we're working with here.
Well, I remember one of my sons saying to me one time, I had come down the stairs and he's at his laptop and I glanced over and I'm like, what are you looking at? And he's like, oh, he just sighed. And I'm like, why did you sigh? And he goes, I feel like every time you come down the stairs, you're always expecting that there's going to be something negative on that screen. You're looking for it. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not, I don't feel that way. And he's like, yeah, but you're always like, what are you looking at? What do you know? And so there's this condemnation, right? In judgment, mm-hmm. in my tone, in my sigh, in my always seeking out and what that did with my son in particular is he wanted to close the laptop. He wanted to pull away. He didn't want. And so I think what Lee is suggesting is, hey, let's talk about it rather than as moms. I mean, we can be super condemning of everything that's going on in our culture and we can really easily just shut down conversation. But when we can be wise and steward, like let's talk about the ways, the notable, the good, the worthy. Philippians 4 talks about whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever is of good report. Think on these things. And those are actually a list of characteristics, not about like scenery or, you know, beautiful things. They're characteristics about people. And the context of those verses is a conflict between two people. And so Paul is giving the instruction, whatever you see in these people that is good and notable and worthy, like we can always find the bad. We can always be the critical. We can always be the condemning, but let's be the moms and the grandmas and the friends who call out the good and yet also have the wisdom to note what needs to shift. You know, what's wrong with culture? Like idolatry is wrong, right? And I think some of what we're noticing in the celebrity culture is absolutely idolatry. And so mm-hmm. that needs to be noted. And we need to talk about that. Like putting people mm-hmm. on pedestals, it's not good for those people and it's not good for us. God is the only one who gets worshiped. God is the only one who gets exalted. And so let's be careful. But I think let's have conversations about it. Let's not just shut it all down. Lee, what were you going to add to that?
I was going to add that I think it's really a temptation as a mother who loves Jesus and wants her kids to follow after him wholeheartedly, to want to prepare the world for our kids rather than preparing our kids for the world that they're going to live in. And at the end of the day, I cannot tell them what not to do enough for them not to do it. I mean, the world is inventing new evil every day. And so one of the things that I really, really am focusing on in this stage, which kind of feels like the launch stage, right? My kids are about to zoom off to college, is to really, I'm saying to myself, I don't, in a situation where they're tempted when they leave my home, I do hope they think, oh, my mom would think this is not a good idea. But more than that, I want them to hear the voice of Jesus even more than I want them to hear the voice of their mom. Yeah. And he is going into the future with them in places that I cannot go, that I'm not even equipped for, that I can't discern. But if they can hear his voice, if they can test the scriptures again, you know, test the things they're encountering against the scriptures on their own, they're going to be able to do this. The byproduct of this as a woman of God, though, of being able to ask good questions and engage with culture in a right way, rooted in the scriptures, is that you're able to do that with people who do not know Jesus. Instead of just saying, you're bad, and the things that you're doing is bad, you can actually engage in a conversation that sounds a little more like Jesus would sound and have the kinds of conversations that Jesus had.
Yeah, the ones that Jesus did reprimand were those, the Pharisees, who were lifting themselves up and, you know, looking with such a critical eye, thinking that they had achieved some greatness. And before God's eyes, like, how ridiculous for any of us to lift ourselves up in God's presence. We're not seeing ourselves correctly when we do that. And so I think approaching other people with humility is the answer to comparison and idolatry, right? But also ourselves, like our own humility, like looking internally and externally with humility is really the core of living this me-free life that Jesus invites us to.
Are there boundaries for our girls? Absolutely. I mean, I know for sure and for certain, my daughter walked out in a dress for prom. And I was like, absolutely not. Take your tail back into that dressing room. I mean, like, are there absolutes? You bet. There are times when we're like, you know what? I do not feel like that's appropriate. And there are other times where it's just, this is not the hill to die on. And it's always, I mean, rooting ourselves as moms in the Lord and just going, okay, so what's my motivation here? That somebody's going to think that I'm not raising a godly girl, or that, you know, or is it actually that I want to raise a godly girl?
That's good. That's good, Lee.
Oh my goodness. I could talk to you ladies all day. I want to respect your time. I know you're hot commodities right now. So I want to end with your thoughts on parenting. I love that you took the time to educate and inform our teen readers of what a biblical parent looks like. I love the part in the book where you kind of describe their roles, parent roles in a kid's life. Can you share from your heart of what those roles look like from a biblical perspective? And I think we've touched a little, a few of them kind of here, but I'd love to hear you kind of list those out.
So we haven't answered this question together yet, Hannah. So this is why, that's why we're kind of tripping over each other. Okay. So it is very easy for girls to get into a group and compare parents, compare their relationships with their parents. And so there's this interesting thing where we have to explain to them that your parents are not primarily your friend. Right now, they've been given a job by God to guide you into truth and lay forth wisdom. And so, yes, they will discipline you from a place of love. That's what scripture tells us. But it is also not God is the one who shapes their futures. And so Our parents aren't the ones who get to lay on us the mantle of accomplishing everything that we did not as well. And so this is very difficult. And, you know, Shannon and I were really careful in the book to tread really lightly in this area because we don't want to tell parents what to do and what not to do. But the one thing that we reminded them is that your parents are not perfect either, and they're going to make mistakes. And their job is to lead you towards righteousness. And so we're assuming and giving parents the benefit of the doubt in this situation. I think it's natural for a girl to say, gee, I really wish I had her parents. Her mom treats her this way. When in reality, God gave you your parents to raise you. And so focusing on the individuality of a girl and focusing on the individuality of their parent as well is just vital.
Yeah.
I second that. Like we said about the talents at the beginning and how God gave our kids their different birth order. God gave you your parents, and that is by His design. And so, a parent's job is different than a peer's, though, too. You know, there's a difference there between your parents are there to encourage and to instruct you in the ways of the Lord. And so I think we as parents, I think we have to keep those lines from blurring and remind ourselves, like, we need to say some hard things to our teens. We need to say what their peers won't say to them, right? And encourage them and equip them. I know with my own kids now, we are in a stage where we say to them, like, look, we're no longer in that parent-child relationship. We're more like a coach. And we invite you to consider our coaching, but you can, we're in a different stage. That has reversed from what it was in high school. And I just want to give a plug too for inviting fathers. If you as a mom are married, your husband, God has uniquely gifted him and equipped him for your particular children, your particular daughter. She needs to hear from him. And moms, we sometimes have a way of shutting out the dads and thinking we know better. But I'm so thankful that I have had my husband as a parent, or I'm sorry, not a parent, a partner in parenting.
Okay. So Hannah, you asked, what does the book say? And we say, it's their parents' job to love them, to provide for them financially and emotionally, to teach them about God and to point them to Jesus, to encourage them, to protect them, to train them for life. I mean, Shannon and I covered that, but we had to be careful to say it isn't to make you happy. As much as our teenagers would like that, it isn't to entertain you or be your taxi cab or buy you whatever you want or to be super cool. And that is still the truth. It is not our job to be super cool. And it at the end of the day, do we want to be your friends? Yes, we want to be very close friends in the end. But for this season, we have a particular responsibility. And because we love Jesus, we're doing that.
Yeah, that's great. I've quoted her before and I'll quote her again. I had a wonderful pastor's wife, Brenda Leavenworth in Southern California. And she always told me, well before I even had kids, that she told her kids, I care about your holiness, not your happiness. And I love that. I love that. It's just always in the back of my mind because it's so simple. And that has to come first, is that we're caring about our children's relationship with the Lord first, and not that they're just having a feeling of happiness that can just come and go as the hormones come and go and as the wind shifts and all of those things. I was just reading in John 17:14 this morning, and I thought this was so applicable for what we might be talking about, where Jesus is approaching his time of crucifixion and he's praying for the disciples and really for the Lord to like keep them earthbound and to not take them because they have a bigger purpose there. And I just got to thinking about that, like, wow, this is kind of like almost a parent-child relationship where he's raised up the disciples as we're raising up our kids. And gosh, like that should be our prayer. God could just take them and make everything perfect. But instead, God, just what Jesus says is instead keep, protect them from the evil one, is what Jesus prays. And that's really our prayer as mamas. Like, hey, keep them in this world. They've got a purpose here, but protect them from the evil one so they can live out their purpose. And I've never read that before from the eyes of a mother, and how cool that is, that we can just pray that same prayer, like our little disciples, to be, keep them here, protect him from the evil one. I just thought that was really cool.
Oh, that's so good. And that is really our heart for this book too. We know we want the girls to be in the world. We want them to be influencers, but before they can influence others, they need to be grounded in the truth and they need to be protected from the lies of the enemy. You know, and like I said at the beginning, those lies that are on repeat, we need to be able to tell the difference between what the world would say and what Jesus is saying. If you're hearing some message like you're not enough, you'll never measure up, you have nothing to offer. Like Jesus doesn't talk that way, right? And so being able to distinguish between the voice of what, like I think a great question for a girl to be asking is, would Jesus say that to me? You know, can I hear his voice saying this to me, this thought that's on loop, and be protected from the lies of the enemy?
That's awesome. Ladies, I honestly would love to just sit here and have you guys read the book and we just sit here for hours and just go through the whole thing. But I have been going through it. I will tell you and tell my readers that I have been going through it with my daughter and she has been asking me to go through it every single night. So every night we read a chapter and we answer it together. And it's just, I love that it's a tool that way. And I don't even know that you guys intended for it to be a mother-daughter.
I love that. Tool.
It has been. So I have to share that. And she literally is like, are we going to do Comparison Girl tonight? And so we've been doing it. We're only like 4 days in since I've gotten the hard copy of the version I have from you guys. But anyway, so we're going to continue doing that. And I want to tell our readers, when can they get their own copy and where, and tell us all the juicy details about the official release. And how to connect with you guys further.
Well, Lee put together these awesome quizzes. So you, Hannah, you and your daughter, they're up on the site. So you guys can go take the quizzes online if you'd like. It's at comparisongirl.com. And so those quizzes, you know, they're in the book, but they're also, you can see the interactive version online and you can see how other people responded. We're okay with that sort of comparison. And so, yeah, we want you to try out the quizzes. But yeah, you can get the books wherever books are sold. You can find them on our site. But yeah, we'd love for you to do what Hannah and her daughter are doing, like work through it together. That is ideal, I think, for a mom and daughter to work through it.
That's awesome. Ladies, thank you so much for being in the treehouse today. I am so pleased to know both of you more. And I'm so thankful for the work that the Lord has placed on your heart and the calling that he has over both of you to just spread truth to this next generation and to just build them up in a way that is glorifying to the Lord. So thank you so much, Lee and Shannon.
Thanks for having us, Hannah.
All glory to him. We're so grateful. Thank you.
Wait, before you go, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and follow us on Facebook or Instagram at The Treehouse Storyteller so we can stay connected. Head on over to thetreehousestoryteller.com for more products, artwork, photography, and encouragement. See you next time.